You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of July 5th, 2017, and it's time to check in to Le Chateau Experience Points.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Jester.
And I'm George Alborn.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. George, let me hit you with this.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let me hit you with the scariest thing that I can say at this point.
Oh, God. I'm pregnant.
2017 is half over.
Oh, God. Yeah,
that's true. You feel that between your fingertips?
Is it? It is just about... Yeah.
It's the sands of time slipping through them.
The ides of 2017 are upon us.
The year is half over.
This year has gone by.
Oh, yeah. And in many ways, it has dragged on interminably.
Only halfway.
Only halfway.
That's also true somehow.
It is the best of times. It is the worst of times.
That's a very good point.
And we're going to talk about a few things today that are ongoing topics that we haven't discussed. Well, I guess we just haven't dedicated a particular discussion to them in a while. We've just kind of danced around them a little bit.
Yeah.
And it being that the year is half over, it's a good chance to stop, to focus, and to again try to in vain grab those little specks of sand
as
they fall down to that bottom half of the hourglass.
I think it's partially because it feels like I have been playing Persona 5 forever. Like, you know, like, and Breath of the Wild. Like,
I was actually going to ask you about that.
What, February or March?
Yeah. That's right. I think it was February.
I'm still playing these fucking games. Yeah. It's mind-boggling. I was playing Persona 5. I'm so close. So close to the end.
I've had that on my list to check in on. So, Persona 5 is still going.
Still going. Okay. I made a commit, no joke. So, like, it's the holiday past weekend. But right before the holiday weekend, I was like, I'm going to beat Persona 5 before I leave for the July 4th holiday here in America.
Uh-huh.
And I was going through the literally like the last dungeon area and I died and I hadn't saved in a couple hours.
Oh,
and I lost all of that progress. Oof. So that was unfortunate. I am still playing Persona 5.
But you think you're at the last dungeon?
I'm almost certain. There's probably like one more boss and it's probably the true meaning of friendship or whatever.
Then I feel like that in Persona 4, there was the old switcheroo that happened where you thought you knew who the enemy was.
Yeah.
All of a sudden,
That happened. That happened? Okay. I am now past that initial enemy, and now it's like this weird like existential thing.
Okay, cool.
And I've even had that moment where like you go to each of your friends and they talk about how like we're such good friends and like you see all the good and I'm a better person because of you, you know? Which is, by the way, I'm making fun of it, but it's really good and heartfelt and awesome.
They did like the Mass Effect 2 thing where you've done all the loyalty missions and you're hanging out with all of them.
Well, even to the point where they'll like tell you, oh, you better go talk to everybody else alone, right? Because you want to have the like one-on-one.
It's like, you better make sure that you lock all of the doors.
Well, actually, I mean, sorry to go on a Persona 5 tangent, but something that's
part of the check-in.
Something that Persona 5 does that Persona 4, I'm not sure if they did or not, actually, is at certain moments during the story, they'll flash to anyone that you've reached a level 10 bond with. And then they'll comment like, oh man, I hope George is okay or whatever.
I don't remember that.
I think it's a new thing. It's kind of nice. Yeah. And it's to the point though where it really makes me regret not getting all of my friends to level 10 confident rank.
Is this even the people that aren't necessarily in your party, but you can bond with?
Yeah.
Oh man. So the clerk at the store.
Some like rando, like my school teacher was just like, oh man, like shit was going down essentially and commented on it, you know?
It'd be funny if one of the level 10 people was like, man, I haven't seen George for a while. Ah, fuck him. And then he goes back to
confidence level drops down to one.
Oh man. Okay, let's talk about another topic. Let's talk about virtual reality.
Man, this was the year.
Feel like last year was also the year, and then we're like, oh, next year's totally the year.
Yeah. I think 6 months in, this is clearly not the year of VR. I think we can agree on that.
Yeah.
Neither you nor I have a virtual reality system, but we each have computers that could do VR.
Oh yeah, we could.
So why the hesitation?
I feel like there's two things. One is all the games that I look at with VR
make you vomit.
I am actually legitimately afraid about that, but I haven't played VR long enough for that to be an issue. But most of them seem to be just shooting galleries, which looks kind of boring to me after a while. And the second is, I don't know if I am on board until I can have cordless VR.
I'm okay with that. I mean, you could have that now with your phone, but you're not going to be playing any video games.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like they're close. But maybe it's like the next version of the headsets that come out.
My issue is the resolution still. Like, it's still just slightly not good enough.
Yeah.
So this past weekend, while I was seeing sort of extended family, I was talking to a fellow who was very much into VR and was talking about like technology changes where they might be able to track your eye movement. And so they'd only have to render part of the screen where your eye is looking at.
I guess so. That stuff's been around for a while.
Yeah. So potentially
that sounds very expensive.
It does, but if that power is unlocked, you could do VR in like a much shittier system, or potentially have better resolution because you're not rendering as much content with your graphics card.
It also, I think, there's a third thing that I didn't think about. The whole Palmer Luckey thing really put a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that's true. But you could get a Vive or PSVR.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, okay, well now maybe that. We've exposed Oculus as this weird. I guess they, to be fair, they forced him out pretty fast.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, totally. And at this point, he's not good involved. On them,
I guess.
Yeah. The thing though is there any one selling point of any of the three VRs that make it a clear front runner? Yeah. Like, I don't think any of them stand out in any particular way. Like, one is slightly more comfortable. One is a slightly easier setup. One is, mostly for consoles, but you could hack it for people. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess that would be the thing for me. Whatever is the most comfortable, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it seems like they all, with the exception of...
VR Jelly is the most comfortable.
Whichever is most conductive. I don't know.
It tastes like strawberry.
It has been a weird ramp up. I thought it would ramp much faster than it did. And there was no VR at E3 this year.
There was a little bit.
I mean, on the main stages. Oh, yeah. They didn't talk about VR like worth shit. They were just like, hey, we have Skyrim for VR, but we're not going to talk about hardware at all.
Yeah.
We're not going to say anything about
it. Exactly. Yeah. So at the PS, the Sony booth area, they were showing off some VR titles. So the one that actually stood out to me was Moss. Is this weird, like...
Is that the one with...
It's like a fantasy mouse. Guard.
That was not the one that I was thinking of.
Yeah, so there's a fantasy mouse that's sort of navigating a landscape. And
I have seen this one.
Maneuvering objects to like help them.
It's a third-person style
third
thing.
Yeah, third-person. But you're not really the mouse. You're really more of, like, I guess, some watcher.
You're the mouse god.
Yeah, you're like the mouse guarding the mouse.
The one that I was thinking of was the one with Elijah Wood in the teaser.
Oh, Transference.
But all I saw was the teaser. I didn't see the actual gameplay. Yeah.
That's another Ubisoft game that I had no idea existed until E3. I'm still not sure what that game is.
Yeah, me neither.
I think it's a horror game.
It looked like a horror game. I mean, the way that they pitched it looked like a horror
Elijah Wood is a terrifying human being. Yes. I think we can all agree.
Yeah. But the mouse one, I do remember that.
There was also a running one where you had to, like, gesticulate with your arms and by swinging them, and then if you want to jump, you have to sort of do this like a stand-up thing where you stretch your neck into the air. It's like a ski game. That looked like it had momentum really well, but I did watch someone play it, and they crashed into a wall, and then watching them still trying to jump by basically just pushing their chest out over and over again was just not, it did not sell that experience.
The people that are probably happiest about VR, despite it not really taking off this year, are the graphics cards manufacturers, because I feel like a bunch of people are like, gotta get my new chip.
VR ready.
Yeah, VR ready. And then it's like everyone buys their new, their new 980s or 1080s or whatever, and they're like, I'm going to wait for a little while. And NVIDIA's just like, whatever.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And then they'll be able to sell a new one that's, hyper maximized for VR. Yeah, I don't know. It was a slow start. We'll see what the rest of the year has, but I'm not super... All of the things that I'm looking forward to at the end of the year are not VR.
Yeah, I'm definitely not confident that... I don't know. I'm curious if I will get VR this year, though. Because this is a year where I could see a potential price drop or a sale.
I mean, they'll probably drop it, the price. I mean, but
But how much could they possibly drop it, right? Like, yeah. An Oculus is $500 without the controllers?
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's still fairly expensive to get into. I just feel like when you're still tethered, it's a tough sell.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like that at first, but the more I think about it now, the more I'm like, I'm going to fall.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
All right. What else is going on?
Do you want to talk about PUBG?
Yes.
We mentioned it on the podcast a while back.
We've just been inching around it, but we haven't.
So also known as PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which is a real mouthful, guy. Like, come on.
Hey, wait, that guy is a brand. He's like the fatality of,
I guess. Of like, today. Has PlayerUnknown done other stuff? Am I just...
He did other mods.
Really?
For, gosh. I'm going to get this wrong, but I feel like it was... He made a Battle Royale mod for Arma or something.
But PUBG isn't just a mod. It's like a full retail game that you can buy. It's early access, but you can buy it on Steam.
Right, so with the skills and the following that PlayerUnknown has, they made he and his studio made a standalone game
and called it PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
It's very similar to the way that Rob Zombie was making horror movies for a while, Rob Zombie's Death in Detroit or something. I don't know what he called those movies.
Yeah, but I feel like I've watched a fair amount of this game, but have not played it yet.
Yeah, I have not played it either. I've watched a ton of this game, actually. Yeah. And I have some coworkers who are like, we should, like, let's go, PUBG, come on. And they've added a bunch of cool stuff. Like, they added new weapons.
Yeah.
They've done a bunch of patches. I know they added, at E3, there was a trailer to show off the fact that you can now vault over, like, fences and stuff. Real advancements. The one thing that's holding me back is still the fact that last time we talked about this, you were like, don't support early access, George.
I know.
And I was like, okay. But the thing is, I don't think this is a game that's going to sort of quote unquote come out anytime soon.
No, it's going to be a Minecraft style thing where it's whatever 1.0 of this is almost meaningless.
And PlayerUnknown reveals himself to be this huge bigot.
Yeah, exactly. The moment when you see something on, I think it was on Microsoft's E3 stage.
Yeah.
I mean, this game is essentially out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to put it on a console main stage
for no reason. Yeah, it is the sort of next, sort of Minecraft for grown-ups in the way that it's sort of really kicked off. And this is another good example of a game that has grown in popularity almost entirely because of its streamability on Twitch.
Yeah. It got so popular. I was listening to someone who works at Twitch who was on a podcast, and she was saying that there was a time there where it was the number one game on Twitch.
Wow.
More than anything, like more than League of Legends, more than Dota, more than Overwatch.
Yeah. I also think it happened to swoop in at a time where there was some people leaving, not Call of Duty, Counter-Strike as well. Like some high-level players were moving out of Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is, and you know this because you've watched some PUBG online, and if you're listening and you haven't watched it, I'd recommend go and watch
it's a pretty
streams.
Watchable
thing. It is very, very watchable, partially because the concept alone is instantly understandable. This is just the Hunger Games, like
you
are dropped on an island and rings of death slowly constrict until there's like two people in the center. Makes a whole lot of sense. The excitement of watching people jump out of an airplane and like map where they're going and seeing other people is so entertaining to watch. And even when you're watching a pair of players playing the game together, and you'll hear one person go like, oh, I think I see a car down there, right? So they're like spotting Eagle Eyes, like, okay, I found an objective.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, someone else jumped out and they're ahead of me.
Yeah.
They're gonna take that objective. We need to make a snap second decision. Do we pursue that objective anyway? Do we try to land by the car and maybe like beat him to it? Maybe he's gonna run into the building. Do we veer off to the side and into this town where maybe we can find another vehicle?
Mm.
Or are there too many people there? Maybe we should veer off to the right and go to another destination.
Yep.
And all of that decision has to happen within, 30 seconds of dropping out of your airplane and looking at the landscape.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think the streams that you watched, were they just following one player?
So, all of the streams that I've watched have been one player.
Me too.
But the ones that I have found most entertaining is them playing with other people.
Yeah.
So the
But it's not an esports style thing where, oh, it's time to check in with Blaze at 420. Uh-oh, it's time to talk about with Dark Angel. Like,
no. I wonder if they are going to move to that.
I mean, I think that's that sort of challenge is one of the criticisms we had of Overwatch, where it's hard to follow the match when yeah. you're jumping from player to player all the time. But the way that PlayerUnknown's is working is that you get invested in this person's story. We're like, oh my God, this person's now top 50. Oh my God, this person's now top 25.
I mean, it's seriously like Hunger Games style, right? Yeah. Where like when someone dies in the Hunger Games, a big can, or like a Battle Royale, where like a cannon explodes and the names of the dead are read. And I think what would be really cool actually is if you can scale it up and actually have a 100 person game in squads of two where, you know, like maybe it's one pro person and then like, I don't know, a celebrity like The Rock and like, some other dude, right?
And PlayerUnknown himself.
And PlayerUnknown himself are like teamed up together. Like, seriously, a charity PUBG stream where esports athletes are teamed up with celebrities.
Remember they tried to do that for that Overwatch match?
Oh, yeah, but that was a disaster, wasn't it?
Yeah, but again, it was because it was...
Overwatch is difficult to watch.
Yeah, Overwatch is difficult to watch. And also, it was unclear who was the pro and who wasn't.
That's true. Yeah. But PUBG, like, you could, I think, actually have a really interesting stream. Yeah. And what's great, too, is... just like watching the Hunger Games, you could be on one side of the island when like where shit is going down.
Yeah.
And then when things get boring because they're just scavenging and no one's nearby, you zoom out and then zoom in on the other side of the island. Yeah. And to have that narrative of like two different groups as they're converging on the center and then like, uh-oh, Conan O'Brien got shot. He's dead. Let's move to Kesha. I don't know.
Look out. Jonah Hill's coming in.
Like, you know, right? Exactly. Or like... temporary alliances could form. I've never seen a temporary alliance form in PUBG.
No.
But I could.
But you could theoretically. Maybe. Like,
depending on. I mean, all sorts of cool stuff could happen.
Yeah, and it's. I think the fact that you follow one player for the most part, and it's not exclusively third person, but it's mostly third person. Makes it less bouncy to watch. I mean, you're just hard, you know, it's hard to follow something
when
like that.
Some of the firefights take place over such a long distance that it's very like tense.
Yeah, it's more of a sniper type battle rather than you're just strafing, circle strafing people until they're dead.
Although I've seen insane shit. Like I saw a guy get downed and then his friend jumped off a rooftop and blasted the dude with a shotgun in midair into like a crouch and then rezzed his friends. It was insane. It was so cool.
There's also so many, with every update, they are pushing subtle differences. I feel like the core of it is stable. And I was reading about one of the small changes they made is now vehicles will spawn in random directions.
Oh, because interesting.
Historically, you could tell, oh, someone has been here because they fucked with this car.
Right.
Like, this car is always facing north.
Yeah.
This car is now facing west. I know someone's been here.
Yeah.
And so now they're spawning vehicles in at different angles, so you can't...
I love that.
You can't take it out.
Yeah. I love the idea, too, that all of the doors spawn closed. And so if you see an open door, like, someone has been there.
It would be cool if they spawned randomly. Could be open or closed.
But I don't know. I kind of like the sort of tense horror moment of, like, the doors open.
It depends on, I guess, what they do with the maps, which is, I think, another... reason why this game has been compelling to watch, because you actually get to know the map a little bit better.
Yeah.
But the minute they start adding a bunch of maps, they have to be careful about, well, now this just becomes a game of map control.
Yeah. This is the type of game I think that would be well suited in a League of Legends style thing to only have like three maps based upon size. Like you have one island for 100 people.
Yeah.
You have one island for 50 people. Mm-hmm. You have an island for 10 people and that's it.
Right. Speaking of League of Legends.
Yes.
Let's talk about League of Legends.
Let's.
Are you still playing League of Legends?
Still playing League of Legends. Okay, good.
Moving on.
The one game that I have managed to fit in while I'm also playing Breath of the Wild and Persona 5. Yes.
What's the deal with League of Legends these days?
I mean, it's basically the same game. We're in like season 7 or whatever. Still high quality. Still pumping out patches. New
Didn't
characters.
Did they make a big map change recently? Or maybe that was on the Dota side of the house.
The Dota side. I don't go to that side of the house. Yeah, Scott.
That's the one that's falling apart. You don't go to that side of town.
I do not go to that. That's a sketchy side of town. They've made some changes to the map a while back. They've got some new characters. They just introduced a character that can just straight up go through walls. So they're being much more playful with, like, I think the design of some of those characters.
That's cool.
The esports side of things is also still super interesting. Still dominated by Korea, which is actually classic. It's not really what I expected, to be honest. I kind of thought...
Russians?
No, I mean, you never expect the Russians. I always thought that the rest of the world would sort of catch up.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting to see that, like, Korea stands up at the top still, and then there's this huge gap, and then just sort of everybody's jumbled up, you know? And North America chokes at every competitive event, and then, you know, you've got the mix of, like, Chinese players and... European players.
Has there been any further drama around unionization of players. Oh,
there's always further drama. Yeah. So Riot announced that they were starting the... And it's we actually haven't talked about this, which I think is kind of interesting. They started the... Gosh, what is it called? The franchisement process for North American teams.
Oh.
And so...
Is this kind of like one of the things that Overwatch was thinking about doing? Yes, regionalized teams?
I don't know if it's region-based yet. I think that they're offering teams that are currently in the LCS, like franchising rights. I think it's still a ways away in terms of actually getting off the ground.
Franchising to whom?
Team owners. So the teams will be franchised and will have a permanent spot in the competitive... the LCS, the League Challenger, whatever series, championship series. And they won't ever be in a position of relegation, right? So it means that if you are investing, if Shaq, right, is investing in his League of Legends team, he's not going to be scared that they're going to drop off of the out of relegation and therefore not recoup his investment, as well as opens up the door for more, you know, merchandising and monetization and stuff like that. Which they've also announced they're going to start doing more rev share over like merchandising opportunities and help them out. So the entire esports landscape, specifically for the NALCS, is undergoing quite a few changes. They're also instituting a players association, much like I guess baseball has a players association.
I mean, most sports have a players association slash union,
right? So it's kind of like a union. And the play, there was actually an interesting series of, there's a website called, I think it's called Dot Esports, that did a series of interviews with some of the NALCS players who were able to make the decision about who they hired on as their representation for the players union. And so they interviewed actual...
You mean as in lawyers?
As in straight up lawyers. Well, like player association person. The person they took was the same person who set up the Players Association for and or ran the Players Association for quite some years for baseball. I think baseball. Could have been basketball. And was a former lawyer himself. So that's picked up off the ground. But what's really interesting is you have some people who are really knowledgeable and care, and then you have some people who are just like, I don't know, I didn't vote, I just want to be good at the game.
Which is very similar to actual physical sports.
Which, in my mind, hammers home exactly why you should have a fucking players association lawyer and a players association in the first place. Because you're bringing in a lot of people, especially who are young kids, who don't know what the fuck they're doing, who are coming in here thinking it's a way to make money and play video games for a living, and they don't consider their long-term health, they don't consider their long-term savings. So to have somebody that like has their back, especially with the experience from athletics association that will 100% exploit their players, is really good.
We're setting the stage for some, like baseball, there have been player strikes.
Let's get a player strike in esports.
Or in football and in baseball, I think, there's been owner lockouts.
What does that mean?
Where if they can't reach some sort of mutually agreed upon contractual terms.
The owners just don't play.
Yeah, the owners will be like, we're not running the league until this is resolved. So, even though the players want to play, they're like, no, the season is not starting until we do this thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, maybe it's not cool for a sports fan.
I mean, it's not cool because, I mean, in the fight of millionaires versus billionaires, you always go with millionaires, but I mean, it is setting
it's like
the
aliens
stage.
Aliens versus predators.
Yeah. But it's setting the stage for all of this drama that we have in traditional sports. But just to do it in a brand new venue. Yeah, a brand new venue.
Speaking of brand new venue, they're opening up this year, I think pretty soon, the new esports arena in Oakland.
Wait, so where is it?
It's in Jack London Square. Huh. It's actually a pretty nice space, not too far from just the general shops there.
How big is it?
I think it's pretty large.
Are we talking about, what, 5,000 seats? 10,000?
I mean, maybe not that large. Okay. Maybe like in the many hundreds, but it's a sizable space.
But you could
I haven't been there myself.
It's like a large theater, basically.
It's like a large theater, but solely dedicated to esports.
You know what they should do is now that the Warriors are going to move to San Francisco instead of Oakland.
Put them in the Warriors
Stadium? Fucking take over Oracle Arena.
Oh my God. That would be great.
I mean,
other than the fact that they would never sell out.
No, but you put seat fillers in there. You could
sure.
Get Barnum and Bailey's. Oh no, they shut down. I was just reading something. Steph Curry re-signed his contract for like $200 million or something like that.
Yeah, but I didn't even know that the Warriors were leaving.
I mean, they're still going to be the Golden State Warriors, but they're building a stadium down
San Jose?
No, they're building a stadium down near like where UCSF is, like where you know, the dog patches and all that. But
make my commute even easier.
Yeah, exactly. But LeBron James was saying Steph Curry is underpaid. The Warriors' market cap or something quadrupled over the last few years, and his salary only doubled or something. It's just funny because the more business-minded players are like, you're missing the point. The owners are taking all of this money and like, oh, yeah, I got my $200 million contract. That's nothing. That's probably not even what he deserves. He probably deserves more based on how good the team is doing and how valuable the team is and what his relative value is compared to the team.
Yeah.
And so now you'll have that whole conversation with esports.
Yep.
It's like, well, this team is making, Shaq is making hundreds of millions of dollars off us, and you're not even paying us six figures?
Yep.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I, for one, am excited for all of the drama to come in esports.
It's going to get so crazy.
I'm very excited that, like, finally there's some change, because I feel like the way that it was being run was sort of untenable for the long-term health of the players in particular.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is the right path. I'm super interested to watch and see how it goes. And we should say this is a different process than what's happening in Europe for the LCS. How they're going to do like international championships and how, you know, lessons from one are going to affect the other will be super interesting to see.
I mean, this is probably, I don't know this for a fact, but it's probably one of the reasons why sports are still, for the most part, national.
Yeah.
Because you can't have these conflicting labor laws if you can't all organize a season. You know, you have to organize a season around what everyone is contractually obligated to play. And if Greece is contractually obligated to play a different number of games than North America, then you can't play each other.
Yeah, exactly. Man. I mean, this is why it takes 4 years to put a shot put tournament together with the Olympics. Jeez.
I mean, it could lead to something like that. I mean, there's also the fact that the national boundaries are much more fluid in esports.
Yeah.
You know, people playing for different countries.
Yeah, Well, there's still like regional caps. Like you can't import more than X number of Koreans
without setting them up. Got to get citizenship.
It's funny because I was looking, I think Team Immortals just brought in two new players from Korea, and their owner had like this huge blog post that was basically like justifying why they brought in Koreans and like, hey, look, this isn't us just like, you know, everybody's got to get their two Koreans, like these guys are gonna stick with the team and learn English and yada, you know what I mean? But the fact that you have to justify that at all and talk about it means that it's still a sensitive issue. Yeah,
that is very true. Okay, one thing that I thought about before we get to go back into console land, whatever happened to the Walking Dead series?
I haven't played season 3.
Is that official? So I saw something pop up the other day, and it was called New Frontier? Mm-hmm. Is that what it was called?
I don't know. Is that?
It was called The Walking Dead : some subtitle.
I think there was another series that followed. Oh, no, maybe that was the one off from Michonne.
Okay, the Michonne one I knew about, but there's now another one.
I mean, there is the series 3 with Clementine.
Okay, so that's what I was asking. Clem. But it's so beloved that I have completely let it drop off my radar. Like, what happened there?
I think that there was a general sense of tedium with the way that those games are structured. Like something, we played a lot of them, right? Yeah. Like we played all of those Walking Dead games.
Yeah.
Tales from the Borderlands came out. I played Wolf Among Us.
Minecraft.
I never played Minecraft one, but Minecraft came out. Batman came out. I don't know if it's come out yet, but Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel stuff. They ended up producing so many of these types of games that follow the same formula.
Yeah.
And while some of them have been really good, you know, we debriefed on the Game of Thrones one,
and
I think generally both enjoyed it quite a bit. It's kind
of hard. But I remember thinking that at the end of it, we were like, we're not going to play a second season of this.
Yeah, I think that's
like we liked it, but we're like, this was fine to play, but we think we're kind of done.
I just don't, it's just not attractive to me anymore, that same formula. And I feel really bad because part of me wants to go back and play the Clementine story, because that's sort of the series that I knew and loved, but I also saw that they jumped so far in the future again, and knowing how they've sort of pumped out these tales from the Borderlands and just general series of like, you know, narrative driven games, I'm just not convinced that this Walking Dead is even going to feel the same. Yeah. You know, like, okay, so Clem is, what, at the end of, spoilers for the second season of The Walking Dead. Yeah, that
happened 2 years ago
or whatever. But, like, at the end of that, right, she was still a kid, and she had, like, well, at least in my story, she was still a kid and basically had possession of a baby.
That's true.
Like, right?
I possess a baby.
I possess a baby.
Yeah.
Cut to season three, she's now, like, 13 or 14.
Yeah.
It's years later.
Would have been interesting to see some of those interstitial
years. Yeah, like, zombies are so fucking everywhere.
Zombies are still a threat.
Who knows where the fucking baby is, right? Like, and then there's some other random dude that, in all the marketing material, was like, so-and-so, like, I think it was voiced by the dude from Friday Night Lights. It was like, this guy joins the cast, and here's all about his character. Like, meet this new guy. And it's like, you know, ultimately, I don't really want to meet that new guy. I kind of just want to wrap up that story and move on. And I think that because it's tied to the most popular entry in that entire, you know, series, I don't think that they're willing to let it go, and it just makes me cautious. And again, it could be great, I don't know, but it's not something that I've played. I think all of the episodes are out at this point.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, that's the thing where it very well could be great, but I feel like all those other series have, even if it's not a dilution in quality, it's a dilution almost in attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's harder for me to pay attention to that stuff when it's not a special thing anymore.
Totally.
And it was just, I was just kind of surprised when I was reading it, because I felt like, oh, I really like this series. I always play them. And then somehow this has completely dropped and it's not even been reviewed at all.
Like, maybe I should try it. I'm sure it's like a summer sale or something on Steam.
Right? Maybe. I mean, by the time fall or winter rolls around, I'm sure they'll be bundling it up in all episodes or something.
I mean, what we should say too, though, is the Telltale engine has aged a little poorly.
I mean, it was bad during the first Walking Dead. You know,
this is years later. Like, it hasn't been improved yet.
I mean,
engines are a pain in the butt. Whatever.
But I mean, I feel like at this point, it's hard to build something when it's in motion. I mean, they're having to crank out so many of these series. When do they ever have the time to be like, all right, everyone, we're gonna just start from scratch? And
it's like South Park level of churn.
Yeah, they really put out that stuff. So I guess the summary of that is it's just kind of in limbo for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's still happening. What's the next one? Like, they're probably doing a Spider-Man game or something.
I thought that there was going to be an Avengers game or something.
Could be. Spider-Man could be an Avenger. I don't know.
I mean, technically I now. Homecoming. Yeah. Okay. Maybe
switch it up.
Yeah. Wrap up with the Switch.
I'm now the proud owner of a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, congrats.
Aw, it's a baby boy or girl. A
good 1.2 pound package.
Yes, I have two games for it.
What games do you have?
I have Snipper Clips.
Okay,
which that I game looked really over. Fun. It is very fun. Yeah. That's a great game.
Yeah.
It's funny because when the Switch came out, I think a lot of people complained that Snipper Clips should have been just built in.
Yeah, like, you should have just gotten it. That should have been the Wii Sports.
That is true. But having it not be the case, I still think it's worth picking up. It's like $20.
It seemed like it wasn't a $50. Yeah.
And playing it with one other person, like, you can play with a kid. It's not terribly difficult to understand. But some of the puzzles are actually like really have to sit there and think it through.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that. And then I also just picked up Goner, which is a platforming roguelike that just came out, also on PC.
I don't think I heard of it.
Yeah, like about a week ago. Huh. This is actually very good and is sort of, we should maybe play it at some point on Twitch or something, but it's sort of Dark Souls-esque in that they don't bother explaining anything to you at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
You can jump, you can shoot a gun or a weapon of some kind, and you have a special item or ability, right? When you find new guns or you find new, like, special abilities, you don't know what it does. For example, I found one, and I push the button, and it sort of shakes a little bit, and then nothing happened. And I was like, okay, what's the deal? And I was like, this is garbage, so I never used it. I finally used it for a little while because I was sort of forced to. And I realized, oh, it stops time.
Oh,
so
sweet.
When you're in a sort of bullet hell scenario, you can stop time, reposition, fire your gun, kill an enemy, whatever, weave your way through a hellish landscape, and be set. And so now there's like a whole new package that I have. I found another one that just sort of glows rainbow colors, and then, I don't know, something happens.
Dance party.
dance party, whatever. It's kind of interesting. So when you get hit, all of your shit falls off.
Oh God!
You have and to so pick it up. You have to pick it up, and your head, you can upgrade, and one of the heads has one heart, so you have basically one extra life. Plus, when your head falls off, and it fires a bullet out of your forehead. But the other heads you can put on will have like three lives or five lives, right? But if you lose your head because you've been hit, no matter how many lives are attached to that head, if your body gets hit again, you die.
Okay.
And then depending on how many like purple knickknacks you find during the game that you can also use to like buy weapons at certain checkpoints, you can restart.
Okay.
But that's pretty rare. Like generally you'll be spending that.
And expensive.
Yeah, or not having... Yeah, and it's expensive, right? So it's actually a really interesting game where you end up having to sort of adjust the weapons you're using in your head and experiment and then rinse, wash, repeat until you've got like a process down. So I have faced three of the game's bosses and that first one was like, I'm never going to be able to do this. This is super hard. And then I did it and then I moved to the second boss and I was like, this is ridiculous. I need to readjust. Got new weapons, got new stats. Blast my way through the game, and now I can basically defeat the first and second boss pretty easily. And now it's just about learning that third world.
It's cool. Seems like a very good fit for an on the go.
Yeah, the music is great. I took it on this trip. Basically, I picked it up because I knew I was going to be on like a 5-hour car ride. So I picked it up for the trip, played it a bunch, really enjoyed it.
How is the Switch itself holding up?
It's not broken yet.
How's the battery life?
I bought a USB charger, so it's just plugged in all the time. You know, I don't think the battery life is going to be an issue for me, to be honest, because I don't really...
I mean, unless you're on a 5-hour flight or something like
that. Otherwise, I'm going to be able to charge it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just not... Even on this trip, right? Like, I was in a car ride for quite some time, but because I was playing Goner and not Breath of the Wild, it actually didn't consume all that much battery life. Yeah. So it was still lasting a good, like, 4 or 5 hours, presumably.
Have you played with it docked at home?
I have, yeah.
Do you get a sense that you're just always going to have this thing in your backpack, or is this probably going
to... That's a good question. I think it's always going to be in my backpack. Yeah. I just don't... When I'm at home, I have the other consoles and other games to play. And so unless it's like a big one, like Splatoon, I'm sure I'll be playing.
Yeah.
But the benefit of having it in your hand is that like Nicole can watch some TV or movie or I can take it on the bus. Yeah. You know, like I just don't really see myself using it all that often docked at home. The one thing would be I would want access to Wi-Fi, right? Like when Splatoon 2 comes out in what, like 20 days or so. And when that finally comes out, like I'm going to want to play multiplayer. So,
did you get the colorful kind or the gray kind?
Neon.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Good choice. Yeah. Good choice. Yeah.
My one concern was like, how am I going to put this next to my TV? It's going to be bright. You know what I mean? Like, I'm concerned about color.
You just put on your shades because the Switch is so bright.
Well, instead, what I've done is weave my cords underneath the desk, and now it's inside of a cupboard. Oh, you just can't see it at all. You just wheel it open in there. And then it's there. Yeah.
Did you get an extra like pro controller or whatever?
No, those are so expensive. I thought about buying an extra set of Joy-Con controllers and a copy of Mario Kart this past weekend, but those two together is like $130.
Yeah. Do they give you the little puppy dog controller?
They do, right off the bat.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's all I care about.
Yeah. All I care about is the dog controller.
That one is going to be propped up on my TV at all times.
Do you think you're going to rebuy Breath of the Wild on Switch?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It already looks and feels so good on the Wii U tablet.
But I mean, the argument is if you want to keep doing those shrine quests or whatever, you could have those.
True.
Or, you know, the DLC is coming out, so there's...
Yeah.
I mean, I already locked my DLC to the Wii U, so like, I think I'm pretty much stuck.
I haven't bought the DLC yet, but I'm literally going to buy it tonight, so I don't think so. Maybe if it's on sale one day.
Yeah. Nintendo games, though. We'll pay $50 for
that
again.
The one thing that I have to do as well now is like buy an SD card.
Oh, right. How much storage does it have internally? It's like 16 something, or 32 something or something
dumb.
Like that.
Yeah, like 8 gigs or something like that.
You can download
it's
half
like
of
six
Splatoon.
Pictures. Yeah, it's like ridiculous. And it's so funny because the marketplace is like has a bunch of games that you can buy. So, but how many can they reasonably fit on this thing?
Yeah, maybe those independent ones. I don't know how much Goner is, but it sounds like it could potentially be reasonable.
Yeah.
Have they really Spelunky on Switch yet?
Nope.
Man.
July 21st, I think.
Oh, but they've announced it and it's coming
out. Oh, sorry, Spelunky.
Yeah.
No, sorry, I thought you said Splatoon. Oh, no. Very similar names.
The other Splunky.
No, they have not announced it. I'm pretty sure the developer on Twitter was like, I know it's harder than it sounds or something like that, right? I think a lot of indie developers right now are getting hit up on Twitter being like, hey, adapt your game to the Switch.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, hey, that would be great. Yeah. Trust me. But the game came out 3 years ago. I'm all alone.
Yeah.
I have to like make sure buttons work, you know? So easier said than done. But when Spelunky does come out on the Switch, I'm going to just eat that thing up.
You could... the fact that it came out on the Vita makes me...
Hopeful
because it seems to translate well to a system that isn't super powerful.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah, it's just... But you're right. It probably just takes...
But that would revive, like, the daily challenge. Oh, By the way, Gunner has a daily challenge. Very much so influential in Spelunky. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's... I'm just kind of... I'm biding my time until my Switch purchase happens. Mm-hmm. But that is certainly going to happen. Maybe if the esports scene around Splatoon really...
Maybe.
Because I want to be able to...
We'll do the tournaments there in Oakland.
That's what I was saying. Like, I want to come out. I'm working on my entrance music right now.
You need to... Not your entrance music. Your wardrobe. Because I feel like you need, like, a cape.
A cape, yeah.
You know, some Splatoon gear.
Velvet.
Just face paints, you know, because you need to be, like, an Inkling.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Just a Callie and Marie cape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Miyamoto said Marie is his favorite?
Oh,
Callie. Excuse me. The Nintendo released what is that called? The like marriage game
where
like,
two people like dating game.
The game. Mm-hmm. They released a dating game with developers.
Oh my
and
God.
So like it was Miyamoto and the main spokesman for Nintendo now.
I don't know who it is.
Anyway, they would ask them questions like Callie or Marie, and they you know write down Miyamoto's a Callie guy.
Oh my God. So but the Callie and Marie thing that I did see the other day is Callie, Marie, and Calamari.
Oh my God.
What the fuck?
How did we not realize that?
I don't know. It's been
Calamari.
Like a year.
Man, that's like Mon Calamari level of genius.
Yeah, except it's subtle and clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait till those new Splatfests come out, though.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Cool. All right, well, that is that's mid-year check-in on various topics that have been floating around the ether.
Mm-hmm.
We'll leave it there for now. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. We got a whole nother year to go.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to find that stuff, come on down.
Six points. Grueling months until GOTY 2017.
Yeah, and what is the name of the other like troll cast? What is that?
The goaties and the gamies.
The gamies.
Oh my
God.
Gamies. This year is going to be a good.
Mwah. Yeah. The gamies. Mwah.
2017 is already a good year for video games. 2017 is going to be an excellent year for gamies.
I totally agree.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time.